Tim, do I need the mask and the gloves there in the back? I completely forgot about it. It's been a long time. I appreciate it. Oh, there might be some up here.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the other night at there was a football game a few weeks ago, and a student of mine who was a former student of mine, he's now serving in the Army, he saw me come into the stands, and he came right over to me and started telling me all the things that he's doing in his military career and all the things that he plans to do after he gets out. And he was so excited to tell me. And this was a student who was not a great student. As a matter of fact, this student actually dropped out of high school after numerous times of having him in class. And, you know, the student was not interested in doing the work. The student was not interested in participating in the activities or anything like that. And it wasn't just my class. It wasn't a personal thing against me. It was all of his classes. He found himself in this situation constantly. Yet, when he saw me at the football game, he wanted to come and tell me how he was doing. And he wanted to come and tell me, you know, the things that, after he dropped out, he got his GED, and he was able to join the military through that. And now he has a future for himself. And he was extremely excited to tell me. And I kind of asked him, I was like, so why did you want to tell me all this? And he said, honestly, it's because you're the only teacher that talked to me about my future, and I wanted to tell you what I'm doing now. And it was kind of humbling, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember saying those things to him. I don't remember a specific conversation. I know that that's something I say to a lot of students, for them to consider what they're going to be doing after high school, that even though what you're doing in high school is going to be important, it's not going to be the only thing in the world, and you need to figure out what your future is going to be, because you're going to be the one that's going to be in charge of that. And he told me that, and it got me to thinking back to my first year of teaching. There was a student who first hour showed up to my classroom, and he showed up about 20 minutes late, and then he fell out of his chair. And I didn't think much of it, and asked him if he's okay. He said, yeah, I'm all right. He's like, can I go to the restroom? So I was like, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, something's weird is going on. Come to find out later on that this student, who was a junior in high school at the time, had drank alcohol in the parking lot before first hour, so much so that when he came in, he was inebriated so much that he couldn't really sit still. Went down to the bathroom and unfortunately passed out on the bathroom floor after he got sick. And this was a student who, when that was found out amongst a lot of teachers, sometimes they have the tendency at the high school level to kind of say, well, this student's not interested in their future. This student's not interested in doing the things that he needs to do to prepare for his future. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he was really excited to tell me about how his life has changed since high school, and about how, he's got a great job now, he's got a family that he's starting, and it kind of got me to thinking, and the whole point coming around to this communion is the idea that despite the fact that at some points that we are at our lowest point, there's still hope. And when we think of when Jesus died for us, he died for sinners. He died for people that would be completely written off by anyone who was looking at as an example of someone to do right. But Jesus still knew that this sacrifice meant that we could have hope. Knew that this sacrifice meant that we could have a future. with God. And so just like these students going from a point to where they're sort of the lowest of the low in high school and their choices and what that those situations that lead them to that, we as sinners had Christ die for us. Where we had no hope before Jesus. There was no hope for us because there's nothing that we can do to earn our way into heaven, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, yet Jesus died for us anyway. And if you can imagine the thought of dying for somebody that may not appreciate that sacrifice, someone who wouldn't have ever asked for that sacrifice, someone who doesn't think that they need that sacrifice, but what they need is hope. What those students needed was hope. Someone to believe in them enough to be able to understand and think about their future and think about taking control of their future. And it was so important to them, the things that I said to them over the years while they were in high school, that although it didn't really change much when they were in high school, those words stayed with them. And it was extremely humbling for me to hear that. Just as it is extremely humbling to believe that Jesus Christ died for me. That Jesus Christ died for me, as flawed as I am. He was willing to hang on the cross and sacrifice himself for me. And the reason he did that was to give me hope. And so when we take of these emblems this morning, when we take of the bread, which represents Christ's broken body, and the cup that represents his shed blood, we understand that these things are meant as hope in our lives. And it should give us strength. It should give us courage to know that despite the fact that we were sinners, Jesus knew that we would need hope, and that we would need strength, and that we would need courage. And so he put himself on the cross so that you could have that and that I could have that. And so as we partake this morning, I want you to keep these things in mind.